Good afternoon. Welcome to this news conference sponsored by the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. You will be hearing from four speakers today. Before we introduce them as a group and then individually, I want to invite the operator on the line to explain how the Q&A period will work.
During the question and answer session, you may ask a question by pressing star, then one on your touchtone phone. If you would like to remove yourself from the queue, you may press star, then two. Again, it's star, then one to ask a question.
We will have the operator back on the line at the start of the Q&A period to repeat those instructions about how members of the news media can pose questions. As I mentioned, you will be hearing from four speakers today: Stephen Smith, Executive Director, Southern Alliance for Clean Energy; Jamie Whitlock, Attorney, Davis & Whitlock, PC; George Kavros, Attorney, Southern Alliance for Clean Energy; and Susan Glickman, Consultant and Lobbyist, Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. Let's begin with our first speaker now.
Hello, my name is Stephen Smith, and I'm the Executive Director of the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. I appreciate you all taking a moment and joining with us to talk about the news of today. Let me just lead off by saying that today is kind of a mixed day for us. On the one hand, we have the ruling from the Florida Supreme Court, which, while not unexpected, we are disappointed that the court did not exercise more authority here in this critical issue. And then we also have learned today that the Florida legislature has moved a modest bill that is addressing elements of some of our concerns around the nuclear cost recovery, nuclear tax issue that has continued to plague Florida consumers since 2006. Just a quick reminder of the history here. The Florida legislature passed this this bill, giving tremendous authority to the Public Service Commission, we call it unbridled discretion, to basically allow the utilities to take money from consumers, ratepayers, for speculative nuclear power projects that will likely never get built. And they've amassed literally billion-plus dollars from a number of the large investor-owned utilities in Florida for these speculative plants, and consumers have had really no redress. We have played by the rules as an organization. We've been active before the Public Service Commission, which is in essence where a lot of this plays out, and have felt that the commission has largely been a captive entity, which is a term of art, a captive entity of the power companies, and has largely given a rubber stamp to just everything that the power companies wanted around this, these provisions. We've tried to work with the legislature in the past. We've tried to work with the governor, and the reason we went to the Florida Supreme Court was the administrative branch, the legislative branch, were not willing to step in, and so we went to the judicial branch in hope, even though it's a long shot, to get them to potentially engage in the discussion. So we're disappointed with the outcome, and Jamie Whitlock will talk a little bit about that in a second. But because of the work we've been doing over the years before the Public Service Commission and also helping consumers in Florida understand how they're being taken advantage of by the power companies, there has been some building pressure on the legislature. And so this year, a number of bills have been active in the Florida legislature, and it looks like with today's activity that one has finally passed. We consider it modest. It doesn't get to the fundamental problems that we see in really assuring that the commission doesn't continue to have this unbridled discretion, and if the commission is a captive entity, then giving to whatever the power companies want. So we remain very concerned about that. As I've said, the only way the bill that passed works is if the Public Service Commission works. And so we'll talk a little bit about some of the specifics if people want to about the bill. But let me, in closing, telegraph where we're going. We're not giving up on this. We believe that this is grossly unfair. We think that the Florida process for planning for what capacity needs that utilities have in order to provide power for consumers in Florida is broken. That's why these speculative nuclear plants are allowed to continue to be on the books even though they're not getting built. And there's no review of that, we think, that is being done in a way that actually really gets at the fundamentals about whether the plants are needed or not, and the utilities are allowed to continue to collect money. We're not giving up on this. We believe that what happens now is that because the legislature has pushed, given a few more tools to the Public Service Commission, the judicial branch has said, no, the Public Service Commission has the ability to resolve these issues. We think now it lands squarely in the governor's lap, and that if this governor is not going to insist that we have public service commissioners that look out for the interest of consumers, then we've got an election coming up, and this will be an election issue in 2014, and we will get us a governor that will actually appoint commissioners that actually will protect the interests of the public. And so that's where this is ultimately going, is that this issue is not resolved. We welcome the modest efforts by the legislature to address this, but fundamentally it's about who is appointed the Public Service Commission and whether the Public Service Commission actually does its job. And we believe that that's not happening. We're not sure that anything that has now been granted to them necessarily changes that. Now that we have the ruling from the judicial branch, we're going to have to go back to the administrative branch and get somebody in that has the backbone to protect the public interest here, and we believe that that's not being done. So that's the end of my remarks, and look forward to the questions.
Again, that was Stephen Smith, Executive Director, Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. That takes us to our second speaker, Jamie Whitlock, Attorney, Davis & Whitlock, PC.
Hello to everybody. My name is Jamie Whitlock. I'm an attorney with Davis & Whitlock. Our firm has been honored to represent the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy in front of the Florida Public Service Commission over the past 6 or 7 years since the nuclear cost recovery law was passed, and engaging each year in the prudence dockets to dealing with the amount of monies that the utilities were seeking on these proposed nuclear reactors. As Dr. Smith said, we're obviously disappointed in the court's decision today. From a constitutional standpoint, we still believe that the cost recovery statute's in its present form is an unconstitutional delegation of legislative authority. The statute just simply does not contain adequate objective guidelines to guide the Public Service Commission and protect Florida ratepayers. And the reason for that is that at the end of the day, a mere determination of prudence in and of itself is not enough to ensure fair, just, and reasonable rates for Florida's ratepayers, which is required by Florida law. Second, in regards to our other argument, which was based on the Commission's 2011 final order, we certainly don't agree that creating an option to build a nuclear power plant equates to the intent to build it. And again, we're disappointed that the court found that simply creating the option does equate to the intent to build. So I'm going to keep my statements brief. As I said, we are disappointed, but again, as Dr. Smith said, it is a mixed bag because we are seeing some movement in the legislature that some of the next speakers will speak further to. And I'll leave it at that and be happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Again, that was Jamie Whitlock, Attorney, Davis & Whitlock, PC. That takes us to our third speaker, George Kavros, Attorney, Southern Alliance for Clean Energy.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining us today. I'm going to keep my remarks brief and discuss the provisions in the bill that passed today. The Florida legislature just an hour or two ago passed Senate Bill 1472, and I'm just going to run through some of the major provisions of that bill. First of all, prior to obtaining an NRC license, the utility can only recover costs that are associated with the pursuance of that license. So that is not in current law. Additionally, what it's done is it's added a little more process in the pre-construction phase of the recovery and the construction phase of the recovery. So now the utility must petition the Public Service Commission for moving ahead on pre-construction, and it has to prove two things. Number one, that the plant remains feasible, and number two, that the projected costs are reasonable and prudent. Also, during the pre-construction phase, the utility has to petition the commission again for approval of any pre-construction costs that exceed 1% of the total projected cost for the project. So that, in the event there's some exorbitant cost, they have to go before the commission and request permission to move forward with that. For instance, if it's a purchase, they have to go to the commission and get their approval for that. Now, the utility, once again, as they move to the construction phase, that is actually putting steel in the ground, they have to prove again, they have to petition the commission again and prove that the plant remains feasible and the projected costs are reasonable and prudent. Also, the utility has to begin construction within 10 years of getting a license from the NRC, or they have to petition the PSC to preserve the right to recover by showing that they have an intent to build. And there was never an intent to build standard in current law, so this bill now adds that standard, and that is that the utility has to prove by a preponderance of the evidence that it has committed sufficient, meaningful, and available resources to enable the project to be completed and that its intent is realistic and practical. So this interpretation, as you heard, is rather subjective, and that interpretation of that standard will rest with the Public Service Commission. Also, the utility can't recover costs beyond 20 years after obtaining its NRC license. And lastly, the bill deletes subsection 6 of current law that explicitly permits the utility to recover construction costs, which also includes a return on equity, if it abandons the construction of a nuclear reactor. So that's been deleted. And what that means practically is that if a utility abandons the construction of an ongoing plant now, it will have to petition the Public Service Commission to recover those unrecovered construction costs. And it'll be up to the commission to determine how much of that cost they can recover and if they can recover a return on equity for their shareholders. And I'll end that there, and I'll be happy to answer questions afterwards.
Again, that was George Kavros, attorney, Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. And let's proceed to our fourth and final speaker making brief opening comments, Susan Glickman, consultant and lobbyist for Southern Alliance for Clean Energy.
Great. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Susan Glickman, and I'm in the legislature and lobbying for Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, and have been involved for a number of years in trying to advance the needle on clean energy policy up in the legislature. So it's certainly a very strong statement about which speaks to the public outrage over this policy that the Florida legislature took action to reform advanced cost recovery. We are grateful to the four senators that filed this legislation in the first place. It does take some leadership to address these kinds of issues that really get at the utility business model, or at least point to the flaws in it. That said, while this bill, as George described, allows for some additional levers and process opportunities at the Public Service Commission, if the Florida Public Service Commission had been doing its job, they wouldn't have found to return every dollar that the utilities had spent up to this point. As I sat in the Florida Supreme Court case, it really struck me that was the fundamental question that the justices didn't ask. Had the Florida Public Service Commission ever denied even one single dollar to either of the utilities? But the public, I think finally been made to understand, and the pressure has brought some legislation forward. So the problem with the legislation is it doesn't fix the fundamental problem of utility regulation in Florida. And Steve Smith spoke to this earlier on. A utility executive's job every day is to put something else in the rate base or raise rates. And they're incentivized by getting a guaranteed rate of return on their capital expenditures. So the incentive is on building power plants. And if you are to look, George can speak to this further, the 10-year site plan, there are some 16 gigawatts in the pipeline. So the energy that we could meet with less risk in a less costly way with energy efficiency and new renewables. But that's not traditionally been part of the business model of the utility. So I think there are more fundamental concerns about how these decisions are made. During the sort of height of the nuclear renaissance, there were 31 proposals in the pipeline. And now there's only outside Florida 4, and that's in South Carolina and Georgia, where they're enjoying both federal loan guarantees and this early cost recovery, which they call construction while on progress. So there are no nuclear reactors moving forward that aren't subsidized in this way because Wall Street won't finance them. And what this law did in 2006 was shift 100% of the risk from shareholders to ratepayers. So the Florida legislature at least recognized the need for some balance. And this is a very modest step, but it does provide some levers. But the key is that it only works if there's a rigorous review by the Florida Public Service Commission. And I think that in wrapping up not only the legislation, but the case itself, I mean, we believe the Florida Public Service Commission, you know, could have put a halt to some of these costs up to this point. So with that, I'll just wrap up and be open for questions.
That was the opening statement of Susan Glickman, consultant and lobbyist, Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. And that takes us to the Q&A portion of the call. I want to invite the operator back on the line to explain once again how the Q&A period will go.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. If you decide to withdraw your question, please press star, then 2 to remove yourself from the list. Please limit yourself to one question and a single follow-up. If you need to ask an additional question, please know that you may press star, then 1 to rejoin the queue.
While we're waiting for our first question, I want to emphasize that the Q&A period is for reporters only. You can find the related news release on the web at www.cleanenergy.org. Again, that's www.cleanenergy.org. After this news event is over, you can contact Leslie Malloy at 703-276-3256 to be connected with any of the speakers you've heard from today. Let's go to our first question now.
Certainly. Our first question is from Ivan Penn of Tampa Bay Times.
Good afternoon, everybody. Two things. One, if the Public Service Commission could have done something before, can you all give us a sense of how the legislation is going to ensure that they do something different than what they have done before? Or are we going to just essentially see the same thing, but with this new modest approach in place?
Well, this is Steve Smith, and some others may want to respond to this. That is our biggest fear. I think that there's no fundamental change that has happened. There is no, if the Public Service Commission had wanted to protect consumers from this abuse, they could have before. What they have a few additional tools, but fundamentally it still is going to come down to the commissioners and how they value protecting consumers against the monopoly utility companies in the state. So We're very concerned about that. What may have changed, and I think it is to be determined, is for the first time there has actually been legislative action to begin to dial back on some of the elements of the original bill. And I think that that is a trend line which a savvy commissioner hopefully would read, is that the legislature is beginning to recognize that the 2006 law has flaws, and they're attempting to question some of the outcomes that way. But fundamentally, the powering lobby of the large power companies overwhelmed the public interest here, and they still pretty much have their way with the bill, And again, because we believe that the commission is largely ineffective in looking out for consumer interest, and particularly on this issue, we're very deeply concerned about the fact that nothing has changed the level that we have a high degree of confidence about.
Well, and I guess the follow-up, if this is essentially window dressing, was it more of a political ploy by the legislature ahead of the election?
Well, Ivan, let me just say that, because I'm not sure that political window dressing is precisely right, because I think this idea of whether or not this legislation protects consumers is wholly left now in the hands of the Florida Public Service Commission. But the fact that four Republican senators brought this legislation forward is a very strong signal to the Florida Public Service Commission that they better start doing their job. Now, whether or not that, you know, it plays out in the favor of the consumers is left to be seen. But it often in politics, and I'm reminded when there were a number of coal-fired power plant proposals in the state, and Governor Charlie Crist, you know, decided that wasn't a good direction for the state of Florida to go. And then the Public Service Commission, I mean, there wasn't, you know, a direct action there, but they then acted in accord with that. So, the Florida Public Service Commission works for the Florida legislature, and they have now spoken that what's been going on is not in the best interest of consumers. So I think the Florida Public Service Commission is now strongly on notice that they need to start protecting consumers. So it is left to be seen, but I'm not sure, you know, whitewashing, greenwashing is sort of fair just yet, and we don't know.
And Ivan, if the intent of this legislation was for this issue to go away, I don't believe that is going to happen. They may want to say that they have fixed it, but every year there's a review that the commission is supposed to do. And every year that the commission continues to give wheelbarrow loads of consumer money to the big power companies in Florida without doing the proper due diligence and review and really understanding whether these nuclear power plants are needed and whether they're going to be built and whether they're really looking out for the consumer interest, this issue is not going away, and we will assure that we believe that it is now squarely the governor. Sort of this thing kind of gets ping-ponged around. The governor needs to make sure now that the commission does its job, and if the governor can't do that, then we need a new governor.
Ivan, this is Jamie Whitlock. Just really quickly, I'd echo everything that Dr. Smith and Susan said. I think they're right on. But from a legal perspective, what the new legislation does is it is modest, but I agree with Susan that it's not necessarily just window dressing, but it simply adds additional procedural steps where the commission will have the opportunity to to review what the utilities are doing and to then make a decision about whether money should be recovered or whether they should be able to continue, so on and so forth. The problem is that the legislation still does not provide any new really objective guidelines, you know, that the public can look at and say, you know, is the commission doing, you know, what they ought to be doing to protect Florida ratepayers. And so we certainly applaud the additional procedural steps, and which could be procedural protections. As Dr. Smith and Susan have said, you know, this is all going to come down to whether the Public Service Commission starts doing its job or not.
Okay, thank you.
Let's move to our next question now.
And our next question is from Matt Van Dyke of SNL Energy.
Hi. My question was regarding Crystal River, because a lot of this discussion talks about the cost recovery law being used to pay for new nuclear plants that might not be built, but it's also being used to pay for projects that have now been canceled involving Crystal River. Specifically, that there was a request for, I think it was about almost $70 million that they filed, that Duke filed for yesterday, for the canceled operate at Crystal River. Just wanted to get any of your comments on that, and if you all, I'm guessing this legislation wouldn't do anything about that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but just is there, would you all support anything being done in regards to these the part of cost recovery that goes to Crystal River, and if so, what?
Hey, Steve, this is George. Why don't I start off with this, and then I'll toss it off over to you. Yes, yesterday Duke Energy Florida, in its filing, wants to recover approximately $68 million through a provision in law that has now been removed that allows them to recover projects that they abandon. So it's not clear whether the old law or the new law will apply, but the fact that there was no retroactivity in the law suggests that the commission will probably adopt or use the old law as a framework going forward in this current proceeding. And Steve, I'll defer to you on whether you think $68 million for a failed uprate project at CR3 should be recovered from ratepayers.
Yeah, I mean, look, the whole Crystal River 3 thing is a mess and a disaster, and it shows the fundamental problems with nuclear power, which is it is a very high-risk, high-capital-intensive technology that has, when it fails catastrophically. And so there's so many better ways to do it. We are concerned about any recovery of consumer money for high-risk projects, any nuclear project. And while Florida Power and Light likes to brag about how their uprates have been so great, all you have to do is look at Crystal River to see where it can go horribly wrong. And so we have concerns, and that is another reason why we think we need leadership by the governor, and we need a functioning public service commission.
Okay, thanks. And just to confirm, so the bill, is there nothing left to be done but just have it signed into law, or is there? I'm just not totally clear on where it's at right now.
Yes, at this point, it goes to the governor. So it passed, you know, the Senate, and the Senate sent the bill over to the House. They took up the Senate version. They amended it, so back to the Senate and returning messages as amended, and it was passed out just about an hour ago. And now it goes to the governor, and the governor has three options. One is to let it become law and do nothing. The other is to sign it into law, and the other is to veto it. I suspect the governor will not veto it.
Thank you. Let's move to our next question.
And our next question is from Stephanie Cook of Energy Intelligence.
Hi. This is a great conference. A couple of questions. One is just a housekeeping thing. Would we get that a press release with the various points that George made on the actual details of the law? Because that was very helpful, but I couldn't get all the actual details. And the second question is whether or not you think longer term that the trend is strong enough, i.e. either from public polls or the composition of the legislature and the sentiment in the legislature, that if you were a utility executive, you would be at all concerned looking down the road about cost recovery for either the Levi County or I'm sorry, I'm just going blank on the other one, but you know, Florida
Turkey Point.
That's it. Yep. So I just wanted to know if, you know, strategically looking down the road, say 5 years from now, and they decide, gee, we better look again at this thing, that by then there might actually be a stronger law, or is this likely to just stay like this for the foreseeable future. But first of all, could somebody clarify whether we can get George's very helpful
We will handle that. We will get talking points out there. No problem.
Thank you. Yep. Okay. And just about that other question.
To your second point.
Is this Steve?
This is Stephen Smith.
Okay.
Absolutely believe that this is sending a very clear signal that what was, in essence, a blank check, so to speak, there's now an attempt to rein some of that in. This is another reason why nuclear power has some very real flaws in its ability. It takes a while to get these projects online, sometimes as much as 10-plus years. And the fact that public sentiment moves against the technology very quickly, market conditions change, this is why Wall Street does not want to touch these things with a 10-foot pole, because it really is a high-risk investment and activity. So public sentiment is moving against these plants. This is a very conservative legislature, which, you know, continues to have, you know, a very strong affinity for nuclear power, but they're being overwhelmed by the fact that most people don't want to see their money going in this direction, and they don't like the speculative nature of these facilities. And many people in Florida will, you know, are not going to be around if they're ever built. We don't believe they'll ever be built, and so people are being billed for something that will likely.
And Steve, I wanted to jump in there because I think that what people are starting to understand, when this law was passed, the legislators were told the plants would be $5 or $6 billion, and now they're $24-25 billion, and pretty smart people think it would be even more than that. So if energy, with as Steve said, that's why I wanted to jump in. When you talk about this long timeline, what's happened in the interim is the cost for new renewables has gone way down. The cost for energy efficiency always was cheaper than building a new power plant, which is how people's bills go up. And there are, if you can get 2 or 3 or 4 times as much energy for that same amount of money without the waste problem that no country in the world knows what to do with, and some of the discussion in the legislature was around the fact that there is a 2-year moratorium on licenses because of the nuclear waste confidence issues. So, I mean, just right there, why would you go in that direction? So there are two things I wanted to mention about the legislature. There were 2 amendments raised on the floor of the House, and there were actually 78 legislators, it was a party line vote, that voted against putting a line item on the bill that actually put like how much was going each month, which is a very easy thing to do and a very common thing that utilities do. And
so they voted against the line item?
That's right, to add it as amendment to the bill that a line item on what the cost recovery amount was would be on the bill. And they voted 78 will not be on.
Uh-huh. But you're
in
saying
contrast,
it would be easy.
Georgia has.
Okay, but you're saying it would be easy to finally get that through, that line item.
No. I meant technically it's just easy to list it on the bill. It's not like it's a complex thing to do. Politically, it was complex, yes. It was voted down.
It was voted down, but you're just showing that as an example of how conservative they are or how pro-nuclear they are or whatever.
Well, how the public outrage. I mean, when the public understands that they won't even put it on the bill. I mean, when you talk to people, you know, that's a big part of why there was action, is because they're hearing from people in their districts who are starting to understand it through, you know, it's being covered by journalists like all of you all, in particular Ivan Penn. So in that panel, it's no secret why it was for sort of Tampa Bay legislators, you know, obviously people in Progress Energy's territory. And Senator Charlie Dean from up in Taylor County, he was signed an amicus brief, as did other legislators, but a prominent Republican legislator. So, again, there's a drumbeat out there that people are very frustrated. And when they learn that you can get 2 or 3 or 4 times as much energy, you know, in other ways that are less costly and less risky, why would we do that? Well, that comes down to how utilities are regulated in Florida. That's the fundamental flaw that no one looked at. They make money the more they spend. And so they want to build expensive new power plants. And when they could, be helping people save money, and they can make money helping people save money. But that's where the direction, but the incentives are misaligned in Florida utility regulation.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. So, but the majority of Republicans in the legislature actually voted in favor of this bill today.
Correct. It was unanimous coming out of the Senate. I'm just looking and make sure it's probably 39.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. Sorry, I'm just scrolling down. 40 yeas, 0 nays.
40 nays and 0 yeas.
Nays, yeah. 40, there's 40 senators. So,
so 40 yeas and 0 nays.
0 nays, that's correct.
Uh-huh. And the House?
In the House, there was 104 yeas and 12 nays.
Wow. Yeah, so strong support. Right. I guess the question now is there any like polling, statewide polling that shows what the public views are on this, or
none. There's no statewide poll. The Florida AARP did poll their members, and this became one of their top priorities. I think there's some sense that there's some sentiment changing, but.
Let me give you a non-scientific way. We are a small nonprofit organization that is up against some of the, well, Duke is the largest utility in the country. Florida Power and Light is one of the largest utilities in the country. And the fact that our small group was able to help shepherd this modest proposal along over the opposition of and their money and all the other things that come with this utility shows that the politicians are feeling some level of pressure on this. Now, that's not scientific, but, you know, I would say that we were probably outspent in there probably 10,000 or more to one in what's going on in the Florida legislature. So, you know, that's objective.
I don't think 10,000 covers it, but anyway, I actually had a staffer say to me today, Susan, you're the only person, you know, on the consumer side that has ever come to see me. So there are hundreds, literally hundreds of lobbyists for the utility company, both in-house folks and contract lobbyists that are part of this process up here, and they give lots of political campaign contributions. They give contributions to the political parties, and contributions to their committees and so on and so forth. So anyway, there's a lot of resources on that side. But so in some ways, it really does speak to public outrage. That's the poll. And I will tell you one other poll is that State Representative Dwight Dudley beat a gentleman named Frank Farkas. Frank Farkas had been in the legislature, so he wasn't an incumbent, but he had that sort of a bit of incumbency. And the main issue in that state legislative race was this issue. Frank Farkas had voted for this in 2006, and Dwight Dudley characterized it as a Farkas fee, and he won handily. So I think that lawmakers see that and recognize that these issues can be very potent when people are made to understand them.
We want to make sure that reporters on the line have a chance to pose their questions. So we'll invite the operator back on the line to go through the instructions again.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one at this time. Again, that is star, then one to ask a question.
And while we're waiting for our next question, we want to stress that you can find the related release on the web at www.cleanenergy.org. And there will be a streaming audio replay of this news event that will be available as of 5 p.m. Eastern Time today, also on that website. Let's go to our next question now.
Our next question is from Mary Ellen Sloth of the Miami Herald.
Hi, guys. Thanks. Just real quickly, Florida Power and Light has petitioned the PSC to drop its nuclear cost recovery fee from what they estimate will be $168 a month to 30 cents a month beginning in January. And now that they've finished their upgrade projects, I'm wondering what you think of how they're using the
I'm not sure. Does anyone know where they're using George? Can you tell from their filings where they're using the 30 cents or where they plan to?
No, I have. Marianne, this is George Cabras. We haven't had a chance to review the filings yet, but we will. I'm assuming that now
the license.
Now they've completed the upgrades. It's just for pursuing the COL. License. I don't know that we have a position on the level of the fee. It doesn't change the fact that all the financial risk for building the reactors is still on customers, and it's still dependent on the PSC doing its job and doing a thorough job in analyzing and looking at the new criteria in the statute. So. That risk, that fundamental risk on the customers has not shifted.
Thanks.
We know some reporters will want to take their questions offline. So at this point, we want to go back through the list of four speakers that you've heard from and give them a chance to offer their closing thoughts for today. Let's begin with Stephen Smith.
Well, again, thank you. As I said, it's a mixed bag today in what we have been handed with the Supreme Court decision. We're very disappointed, but that was not unexpected. We knew it was a very high lift to get the Supreme Court to reach back and to the Florida Public Service Commission. We welcome the activity by the legislature. We think it's modest, but it's a small step in the right direction. We did support a full repeal, and we think that is actually the best measure that should have been done here. But we welcome the small step in the right direction. The bottom line, though, is that this is not over. People are going to continue, whether FP&L is charging 30 cents or whatever it is, and to get their millions of dollars for a project. People are just not happy that the company continues to take advantage of them in this way. And this is not going to go away, and we believe it will continue to be a significant issue. And we're going to continue to monitor it very closely.
Thanks. Jamie Whitlock?
Thank you. I'd again echo Dr. Smith. It's a mixed bag today. We are disappointed in the court's decision. We don't agree with it, but we did know that we had a high bar to meet, and apparently the court felt that we didn't meet that. But we do believe that the work that SACE has done in Florida over the past 6 or so years, including the Supreme Court case, have really helped put this issue into the public spotlight and has likely played a role in causing the legislature to act. We do applaud the legislature for the proposal that apparently has passed now and will be going to the governor. It doesn't go far enough. It does, as I said earlier, it adds some more procedural steps, but at the end of the day, it's going to be the job of the Public Service Commission to apply whatever standards that they are given in the statute, and to make the right decisions for Florida ratepayers moving forward. Thank you.
Thanks. George Kavros?
I'd like to echo the comments by Dr. Smith and Jamie Whitlock, and that is that the passage of Senate Bill 1472 is a modest step forward. It still rests a lot of discretion with the commission, and if the commission does its job, it'll find that continued spending on risky new nuclear reactors is neither feasible nor reasonable.
Thanks. And finally, Susan Glickman.
Yeah, I give my thanks to four Republican senators who forced the legislature to rein in a law from 2006 that enabled
investor-owned utilities in the state of Florida to charge people in advance for power plants that, that may or may not get built. So the tools are in place for the Florida Public Service Commission to protect consumers, and now it's time for them to do their job, and we're going to continue to participate in the process both legislatively. We will be pressing for the Florida legislature to look at the utility planning process that brought us four of the most expensive power plant proposals in the nation. And the Public Service Commission, with the tools they had, continued to ignore that. And what the legislature has said is you can't ignore that anymore, and we need to do least cost planning so that we get better outcomes that to protect the public. So, and Southern Alliance Clean Energy will continue to press forward on that every single day.
We want to know, or to make sure that you know where to get more information about today's news conference. You can contact Leslie Malloy at 703-276-3256 to be connected with any of the speakers you've heard from today. As I said before, you can find the news release on the web at www.cleanenergy.org, and that's where a streaming audio replay of the news event will be available as of 5 p.m. Eastern today. Again, you've been listening to a news conference sponsored by the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. Thank you for joining us. That concludes today's news event.